Several years ago, as I shared with you earlier, I did a series called Becoming an Eagle Christian. Some of you might remember that. This was, I think, back in 13 or 14, very early on in our church life. Because as you know, the eagle is the emblem of a symbol of our church. We selected that, and there was a very good reason. And I want to share some of that with you today. And over the next several weeks, I want to talk about what it means to live life on eagle's wings. Now that, I realize, is a metaphor. We don't literally do that. By the way, we got together to pray this morning, and I was sharing with the group that was here that what we were going to be doing. And I said, you know, I'm kind of counting on an eagle flyby at some point. We've got three of them that are out here somewhere around. I think they're on that island right out there. And so I said, I'm expecting a flyby. And I'll tell you, we got done praying, and we looked out, and it was like the Super Bowl. Here come a flyover. The eagle just came right down through the shot there. Beautiful, majestic, because there are few of God's creations, I think, that inspire such awe and wonder as when you see an eagle in flight. It doesn't even really need to be flying. You can just see one and just know by the way it carries itself. One of my favorite. How many of you know who, is it Don? Not Don Larson. What's his first name? The guy that did the Far Side cartoons. You remember that? Remember the Far Side? Some of my absolute favorites. One of my favorite cartoons he had, it was just a single panel. It had all these huge birds sitting up in trees with sunglasses and Walkmans, and it said, "Birds of prey know they're cool." That's an eagle. That's an eagle. They're just magnificent. The mere presence of this great bird is just enough to make you stop. I was driving out of here one Sunday not long ago, and I saw one swooping. I pulled the truck over and got out, and I watched. I had to look at it. But I'll tell you, when an eagle is flying, that is when it is truly magnificent. It has this huge wingspan. They usually come in about a full adult, about an average of 6 to 7 feet, tip to tip. Some of them have been recorded up over 8 feet in size. They have laser-like vision. They can see every movement, even from 1,000 feet or more circling. Their eyes are constructed in such a way that they can see a stationary object like a white rabbit or some type of prey from anywhere from 1 mile to 1.5 miles away. To give you some kind of a context of that, for a human to have really good vision to be able to see something in any kind of detail, about 1/4 mile, and it has to be perfect conditions, is what we can see. So the eyes are incredible. It has this apparent command of the thermal air that it flies in, just to soar and to be able to adjust and to move its wings, its tail, and be able to swoop and to soar without ever beating its wings, it seems. And then again, there is just such a boldness, a nobility to an eagle that makes it so unique. There are over 60 species of eagle in the world, of which, to my understanding, only 2 really populate North America. That's the bald and the golden eagle. The only other animal I think that compares to that in its majesty would probably be the lion. When you think about the lion and what that represents and about what that looks like. But you know, the eagle and the lion are the 2 animals that God uses to describe the potential we have as Christians in our lives, who we can be in God. The eagle and the lion. And for these next several weeks, I want to look at the components of what that means in our lives, what that means for us and how we live to be able to live with the aspects of what an eagle is or even a lion. So this morning, it's going to be a little bit different. We're not going to be going through all kinds of scripture. I want you just to sit back and just understand what this animal is. So what manner of a bird is an eagle that it actually stands before the very throne of God? What can come before the throne of God? Nothing except that which God allows to come before the throne. in Revelation, the fourth chapter. Revelation is the last book of the New Testament, as you know. It was written by the Apostle John. He was the last disciple to be alive. John lived to be the end of all the 12 disciples, the only one to die a natural death. All the rest of them were martyred in one way or another. But John lived to a pretty old age, especially for that time. He has been exiled to the island of Patmos, which is off the coast of Turkey. And he's been sent there by the Roman governor, by the Roman Caesar, actually, that said, "I'm sick of listening to you. I just want you out of my hair." He didn't want to kill him because he's afraid how the people would respond. They knew the kind of man that John was. But while he was on that island, God gave him visions. And in those visions, and through that, he wrote the book of Revelation. Well, in the fourth chapter, this is the second, the sixth, and seventh verses. Here's what John writes. He says, "At once I was in the Spirit." So again, he's having a vision. "And there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it." Well, that someone was God the Father. He said, "Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures covered with eyes front and back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had the face of a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle." Well, what John is describing here are the four realms or areas of the earth. The first one, he says, is the lion. The lion is the king of the wild beasts. That's realm number one. The second one, he said, was like an ox or a cow. That is the one that rules over the domestic animals of the earth. Third one, he said, was like the face of a man. Well, according to Genesis 1:26, God gave man dominion or authority over the earth. And then the fourth one, he says, was like the eagle. And the eagle is the king of the sky. The wild beasts, the domestics, the earth itself, and the sky. These were the four creatures that God had standing around his throne. And see, because of this designation, the eagle has held since the earliest recorded days a place of unique distinction among all people. Let me just take a couple of minutes and share some of this with you. In the early church, founded back when Jesus finished his ministry, the churches began to be established. Churches just like ours. They were usually pretty small. They usually met in homes around. They didn't have normally a central location where they would come. And of course, Paul was responsible for establishing a lot of those churches. Well, in the early church, they knew the importance of what the eagle represented. The Bible references eagles some 30 times in the NIV Bible. And all the way back in Exodus, you see it for the very first time in the 19th chapter in the fourth verse. God is speaking to Moses, and he says, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt." He's talking about how God brought them out of Egypt, the Exodus itself. And he said, "How I carried you, watch, on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." See, the most times in the Bible, the eagle is often used as a representation of the Word of God. But in other places, and again, many of these, it is about who we should be as Christians every single day. As an eagle. What are the attributes of that eagle? Well, that's what it is that we're looking at. And so they understood how important that was. The Apostle John himself was known as the winged warrior. The 12 tribes of Israel, remember those first original 12 tribes that came out? The tribe of Dan, their banner was a beautiful large golden eagle against a blue sky background. So they knew what the eagle meant from the very beginning. And see, the early church also knew about this because of what the Old Testament prophets had written. A couple of examples, Hosea, minor book in the Bible, but he was a great prophet for Israel. And in chapter 8, verse 1, Hosea writes that a soaring eagle is a sign of impending disaster against the people if they aren't obedient to God's word. The power, the authority of it. Job writes that the powerful bird that God has created because he enables him to do such incredible things as he flies throughout the sky. Moses wrote a warning to the people and said, listen, God is going to send a people down on you that is going to swoop down on you like an eagle coming after its prey if you continue to disobey God's law. Prophet Jeremiah wrote four times that the eagle was an example of the majesty of God. And then I think, and if you're going to write a verse down for this morning or a scripture reference, it would be Isaiah 40, 30 to 31. Isaiah writes these beautiful words, and most of you are familiar somewhat. It says, even youths grow tired and weary, young men stumble and fall, but those who wait or hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar or mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. The Bible is filled. The children of Israel understood what the eagle meant in the terms of the majesty of God. Well, it wasn't just confined to the Bible or to the Israelites. Multiple cultures utilized the eagle. The Greeks, one of the great cultures of the ancient world, in their mythology, they believed that Zeus was their number one god, took the form of an eagle and held lightning bolts in its talons. You may have seen some references to that. And it's why Greek families and farmers would bury eagle wings around where they lived and where they farmed, believing that during storms they would be protected from lightning strikes if they had those feathers. They believed that the eagle was the only creature able to fly and to look directly, unflinchingly at the sun without being harmed, because they actually believed that the eagle was filled with sunlight. They also credited the eagle, and I thought this was interesting. They credited the eagle with the ability to be able to renew itself into a form of immortality. Now, that actually is taken from some truth. Because, and we're going to talk about this later, how an eagle is able to renew its feathers through a very intricate process that it has to go through. But not only that, but if you remember the words we just read in Isaiah 40, how that we renew our strength when we mount up on wings like eagles. Well, the Romans, another great culture. The great king of that time, Charlemagne, who was the very first king of what would become the Holy Roman Empire, this is in the late 700s to the early 800s, chose the golden eagle as his symbol of power as he would go on and conquer most of the European quarter during that time. When an emperor died, they would normally release eagles as a part of that. We many times see doves released at events and those types of things. But they started that back in ancient Rome, where they would release eagles because they believed that the eagle had the power and the ability to carry the soul of that emperor up into the heavens. Roman soldiers believed in the power of the eagle to protect them. They would often try to camp underneath or near eagles' nests so that they would be protected. And when a Roman soldier, especially the generals, when they were on their way to a battle, if they could spot an eagle flying, they took that as a sign that they absolutely were going to win the battle that they were going into. Every Caesar that ever ruled Rome sat on a throne shaped like an eagle with its wings extended. It was a symbol of power. Napoleon, the great conqueror of France, used the eagle, the swooping black eagle, as his symbol. The eagle was all throughout his home, through his palace. He even named his son L'Aiglon, which means baby eagle. Of course, the United States, we have the eagle as an emblem in multitude of things across our culture. In 1782, Benjamin Franklin actually argued against the eagle being used as our national symbol. He thought it was too aggressive. For a brand new nation, we needed to just kind of ease into this a little bit. We didn't want to come up with this swooping, killing bird. He actually wanted the turkey to be our emblem. Can you imagine? He said it's a much more stable, much more calm bird. It's a source of food, it sustains us. Now, fortunately, he lost that argument. Ben didn't lose many arguments, but that one he did. Eagles were used during the Battle of the Civil War, not far from here. There was one particular eagle that had been caught and trained. It belonged to the 8th Regiment of the Wisconsin Volunteers. Not surprisingly, they were also known as the Eagle Regiment. They named this bird Old Abe, after the president. And this bird survived 19 battles that it was taken into, several attempts to capture it by the South. They figured if we could get this thing, because it had risen to such a place of prominence and inspiration that Ulysses Grant, the general of all the Northern armies, actually came to pay his respects in person to this bird. The eagle adorns virtually every important seal of our country. The Great Seal of the United States features the eagle. It's the symbol of the U.S. Marines. It's on dollars, it's on stamps. I carry around a 50-cent piece with me, and on the back of that, Kennedy's on the front, and on the back is the beautiful symbol that represents the United States of that eagle. It's on the Congressional Medal of Honor, which is the highest award that our nation gives. When the president addresses our nation, he normally does it behind a lectern with the eagle on the front. His plane is called Eagle One when he's not on board. And the very first words that were spoken from the surface of the moon, from another body in the sky, very first words were, "Houston, Tranquility Base here. The eagle has landed." That was in July of 1969. The eagle has even worked its way into our vernacular, into our language. We talk about somebody that has an eagle eye. It means they have great vision. When a group of pilots are together, now this is what I understand, Bill, this is what I, but if you're an eagle pilot, it means that you're the top of that group. Even in golf, Dave, you know this because you hit these all the time. You hit an eagle, that's two strokes under par. That's not easy to do. That's a great accomplishment. So we use the eagle to say something has been done really well. Well, finally, just the sheer size and power of an eagle is incredible. It is, for its size, for its weight, it's one of the most powerful and feared birds, if not all animals, in all the kingdom. A 5-pound eagle can attack and kill a 30-pound deer. They have been seen in Australia knocking full-grown kangaroos off of cliffs, off of cliff faces. That's how strong they are. There have even been reports of an eagle attacking a bear. Like to have seen that. The most powerful of all the eagle is what's called the harpy. And just the sheer size of this thing, it stands nearly 3 feet tall. It can weigh up to 20 to 25 pounds, and it's had wingspans that have been recorded in excess of 8 feet from tip to tip. Is it little wonder that these birds have been called the kings of the air? Is it any wonder that it has become the very symbol of what it means to be a conqueror? Well, church, I'm here to tell you this morning, because I'm sure some of you have been thinking, going, this is kind of a weird sermon, isn't it, Pastor? You haven't even talked about the Bible hardly. Well, what I want you to understand this morning before we continue in this series is what this bird represents, not only in the scriptures, but to all the world, to all the cultures. Because God calls us in Romans 8:37, how many of you know this? What's he call us? More than conquerors. More than conquerors. And to be able to go into life in a situation that's not easy to deal with, could you bring up that mental picture of how God sees you as an eagle? So when you are flying in the course of your life, you can take this as far as you want to, but as you're soaring in the days of your life and whatever it is you're dealing with, to know that you have been created in Him as more than a conqueror. That's why when the things in my life happen that are not easy, I'm not overwhelmed. That's why when things happen in my life that are difficult, that cause me pain, I may get knocked down, but I get back up again. because I'm more than a conqueror. And see, God has chosen the eagle to not only represent, but also to inspire us to be all that God has called us to be. And this is why so many times you hear me Sunday after Sunday after Sunday encouraging you, wanting you to stand in the fullness of who God has created you to be. That we don't need to be just sort of eking by every day, just, boy, I hope this isn't as bad as yesterday was. And, you know, golly, I'd just probably stay in my room, or I don't even feel like doing this anymore. My personality changes. The way that I live my life is no longer the same. I'm just so tired. I feel like I'm getting beaten up constantly. You are more than a conqueror. That's who Jesus Christ is in each and every one of you. This bird that portrays the power, the beauty, the majesty, the fearlessness, the strength, just the sheer grandeur of God is how he sees each and every one of you. And you see, that is who you are when you are in Christ and when he is at the center of your life. You see, you have been given that power by God to be an overcomer, to be more than a conqueror. And see, that's not in pride. We don't let that become something that puffs us up to say, boy, I can handle anything. I got this. I don't need anybody in my life. I don't need God in my life. I've got this. Do you know that everything good of your life is given to you by God? To understand and to recognize what it was that Paul wrote when he said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. That's what that means. And he's given that to each and every one of you. And I know there might be some of you sitting here this morning going, Pastor Dave, you don't know what I'm having to deal with. You don't know what I'm walking through. You don't know the number of times that I have asked God to change my situation and my circumstance. Well, those of you that were with us the last couple of weeks know that we talked about that very thing. How do you handle when the answers to prayer that you're asking aren't happening the way that you think that they should or the way you want them to? What happens when God says no? What happens when God says wait? Or maybe he says, listen, I got a different way I want to do this. How do you respond to those things? Well, to know that he sees me in such a way means that I can just go, God, I trust you. I know, God, that you want the best for me in my life. I know the circumstances that I'm walking through, they're not going to last forever, but I need to hold my place and to count and trust you. Not to give in. Not to allow things to become worse because of my attitude, because of my heart. Not to be that kind of person who people just don't want to be around when things aren't going exactly the way you want them to. But to be somebody that can look at you, people look at you and say, there's something different about that guy. There's something different about that woman. Look what they're dealing with, and you'd never know it. Now listen, does it hurt? Yeah, it hurts. Is it hard to wait on God? Yes. Nobody likes waiting. Again, one of my favorite movies. I just watched this the other day, Princess Bride. Always have to reference this. Great movie. And he's climbing up the face of the rocks, and Indigo Montoya is standing atop waiting. They're going to duel. He said, I don't suppose you could hurry up. Wesley says, you're just going to have to wait. He says, I hate waiting. That's the way everybody feels. We hate waiting. We don't enjoy waiting. But when we wait on God, we are assured that what is happening is for our good. We can be assured that even if it's not happening just the way that I want it to happen, that God has plans for other people, and I could very well be in the center of that plan. That God's going to use me in this difficult time to be a blessing, to be an inspiration, to be something that's going to help someone else, all based on how you choose to react. But you know what, church? You're an eagle Christian. You can mount up on those wings to have your strength renewed. You can run and not grow weary. You can walk and not faint. The eagle is the very symbol of strength, of beauty, and power. It is God's power that sustains us. It's his beauty that should be seen in us every single day. and it's His strength that allows us to overcome those difficult times. Church, never forget how God sees you. Now, next week, we're going to come back. Ornithology is the branch of zoology that deals with birds. Ornithology. Ornithologist is a guy that works with birds. Don't know what leads you into that kind of work, but there you go. Next week, I want to introduce you to God's ornithological society. You know, we have an ornithological society. God has one too. You know what He calls it? He calls it the church. And within the church, there are all kinds of birds. And next week, I am going to give you the opportunity to determine what kind of a bird you are. I'm going to describe all kinds of birds that live in each and every church. We have birds. You're all birds. But what kind of bird are you? Next week, I want you to find out. Because you may want to change that. You may be going, okay, good. I think I'm a pretty good bird for this church. Or you may be going, they may push me out of here if I don't change things a little bit. We wouldn't do that. Karen might, but I wouldn't. I would never do that. Was that out loud? Did I say that out loud? I shouldn't have done that. So come back next week and learn what God's ornithological society is all about and where you fit into that. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you, God, for your word of encouragement. And God, we just thank you for the majesty